Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
And it's great to yet again have the Club Bowls champion with us
We're still going on about that. Actually, while you mentioned it, yep. I must thank my partners in crime that helped me get to the club, the Pairs Club Championship. Paul Njurajek, who ended up being unwell and couldn't, he played the first couple games. And my old mate Johnny Radloff then filled in for Paul. To those two, they must have bowled very well for me to win the club championship.
Oh, Phil. Yeah.
So I don't reckon I thanked them on the show that you brought
either.
It up.
Yeah. Did they ring them now. Did they ring you to say
No, they didn't. No, Johnny, I don't even know whether Johnny is a listener. All right. But I know Paul is.
Well, he will be now.
And while we're on bowls, Rick, obviously here on a Wednesday night, heading up to Newry to stay there. And off to Clare, two-day tournament in Clare tomorrow, Thursday.
Now, what sort of tournament is it?
Thursday is Pairs, which myself and Pash won last year.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we won that.
Defending champions.
Defending champions. Yeah. And then on the next day, on the Friday, it's a good day, we tee up with Mark Schutz and Dave Wilson, who they would have played Pairs as well. For a fours on the Friday, so
that should be good.
It's just a good.
And where do you stay overnight?
Just in the pub. All right. One of the pubs up there. Yeah, always a good.
Well, on behalf of your friends and listeners, good luck.
Thank you. Quickly, Rick, I had an enjoyable day today. Obviously, school holidays, got the tin lids coming over, the little grandkids.
Oh yes.
Took them down to Glenelg, and how lucky was I coming back from Glenelg today, Rick? To be driven back in the tram by the great Peter Luckett, none other than the great man.
You're joking.
He drove us back in that tram. I guess it's driving.
Did he sign your ticket?
Autograph
his ticket?
Oh, I didn't pay for a ticket.
What?
I get free. I'm a free ride.
But I was going to say, you're too young to have grandchildren, aren't you?
I know. I look too young, but no, I'm not. And what an enjoyable ride it was with Peter. He'd done a fantastic job getting us back. Safely.
Right.
Okay, let's get on to the footy, Rick.
A bit of AFL.
A bit of AFL first. Four out of eight I got. I'm not sure what you got, Rick.
I got the same. Okay. Four out of eight.
So it was a tough week, wasn't it? A few upsets.
It was a very tough week. And I might say that to our good listeners,
yes,
you did actually make a sarcastic comment. However, they will vouch
which
for
one?
Me. They will vouch for me that on last week's show, I did... At that very time, change a couple. So it was four all, so you're still the lazy three behind,
is
that right?
That's all right, plenty of time. Okay, this week's tips, Rick.
Yes.
We've got St Kilda versus the Western Bulldogs.
Now, I've seen Coca-Cola yo-yos go up and down with better and more predictable form than the Bulldogs.
Yep.
I am taking a while to tell you who I'm tipping.
Yeah, yeah.
On their day,
yep,
I would pick the Bulldogs. However, I have little faith in them. St Kilda tend to treat Marvel a bit like a home ground. I'm going for St Kilda.
Okay, I'm going the Bulldogs by 12. Oh. St Kilda by how much, Rick?
I'll go for 13.
Okay. Adelaide and Essendon.
Adelaide will win that game comfortably.
I'm tipping Adelaide. Not convincing, I don't think.
Can't you remember how Essendon played against Port
Adelaide?
Yeah,
but they played pretty well last week, didn't they?
Well, who'd they play? The Bulldogs.
I don't know who it was. Yeah.
Wasn't it the Bulldogs?
Okay, Collingwood and Port at the MCG.
Oh, dear man. Here we go.
This will test whether you're a Port supporter or not.
I'm a Port supporter, but I'm also a realist, Phil. Port will get beaten by plenty.
So Collingwood for you, Collingwood for me.
And isn't that 70,000 people at 1 o'clock in the afternoon
with
on the MCG?
Five teeth between them.
Eh?
Okay, Carlton and GWS.
Now, this is quite an interesting game as well at Marvel. GWS, as we speak, unbeaten on the top of the pile.
Certainly are. Now, only fell over the line last week by a point.
Exactly. Now, the one thing I'm concerned about with GWS is their track record when they're travelling. I'm going for Carlton.
GWS for me.
Oh, two.
Okay, it's two different.
Yep.
Brisbane, without Charlie Cameron this week, I think, aren't they?
Oh, no.
What?
Got cleared.
No, he couldn't have.
Yeah.
No.
On grounds of nationality.
No, it wasn't. It was, he's a good bloke.
Hey.
Imagine David Rees-Jones going into the tribunal years ago and saying, I'm a good bloke, let me off. Eddie Betts, I mean, went in as well. And
We could spend the next 10 shows.
We won't.
AFL thinks they're accountable to no one. They just make up the decisions to suit the situation, to give what they think is the right image. And how he can get off if you're being consistent is just, ridiculous.
It is. They've opened up a big can of worms, Rick, because the next guy that goes for one of those sling tackles or whatever you want to call them, he'll just go and say, I'm a good bloke too. So is he going to get let off?
Yeah, but there's a little bit more to it than just being a good bloke.
All right, well, let's get over it. Brisbane and Geelong.
So who are you going
good
for?
Good game.
Who'd you go for?
No, I haven't done much yet.
Haven't.
You?
I've got a lot of time, as I've said on the program a couple of times already. I've got a lot of time for Geelong. I always do have, but I'm going for Brisbane at home.
Brisbane for me. West Coast, winners last week. West Coast, what's it called?
It's called the Derby.
The Derby.
Or the Derby, whatever.
West Coast
they like.
And Frio.
Frio will win comfortably.
Frio for me.
Yep.
Sydney and Gold Coast.
Well, I believe if you were going to pick a premiership side, which would be ridiculous at this time of the year, I'd pick Sydney.
Sydney
are a very good side, and they will win that quite comfortably.
I agree. North Melbourne and Hawthorn, battle of the bottoms.
Have you got
the cellar dwellers?
Have you got your hand free? Could you go?
I certainly have.
Could you give us a coin out of your pocket?
Yeah. Who's going to come and play?
Well, I don't think any of them can play, but I'm going to go for Hawthorn for no
North good. Melbourne for me, so it'll be all square after this week. Three different this week. She will be all
Should
square.
I make the statement on air now that I may reserve my
job? Oh, no, not again. Here we go. Well, you might as well not even do your tips.
No.
Okay.
And for the folks who aren't haven't got a list in front of them, Melbourne and Richmond are having the bye.
Yep. Anything else on the AFL, Rick, that you wanted to bring up while we're on there?
Well, while we're on the AFL, and again, we are limited in time, we won't go into the details, but I would think that the AFL would be smiling themselves silly with the fact that Finlayson said what he said. Now, I can say this because it's been printed in the paper.
Mm.
Okay, faggot is not necessarily...
You that all the time, Rick.
Well, that's, and so does everybody else. And this is the point that I'm
making.
I've been
called worse than that on the footy field.
Well, I've been... Yeah.
You should have been, though, some of your decisions. Oh, my God.
Now, I'm not saying that it's not... I mean, it's not a hanging offence, though,
no,
Phil.
I agree. 3 weeks
for... Using a word like that is just ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Now,
I agree.
Having said that,
yes,
I can see far worse in Crybaby.
Oh, no.
I mean, what are we on about?
But he didn't get suspended for that, though, did he?
No, he hasn't got suspended, although they've handballed it to the club to say, well, you self-discipline. Now, the reality is, and we won't go into the details of it, it's, I think, the third time since 2022 that they've called him a crybaby. Well, maybe he is. I've been called far worse than crybaby.
Oh, same here.
And I just think we're out of control. However, could it have not come at the more perfect time for the AFL? Because guess what? No one's thinking about the major problem they have got in that they are...
Four umpires.
Well, that's a major problem. But there's even a more major problem.
What's that one?
That they are indirectly encouraging the youth of this country to take drugs because their drug policy is such that... They have said to players, you go out and have a test.
Yep.
We won't give you the we won't publish the results, but if it's positive, so you know, you're out Saturday night smoking a bit of cocaine or whatever they do with it, or sniffing it or whatever. If you test positive, we suggest you do a hamstring so that you're not available on Saturday, and so you'll avoid the test. Now, I don't know whether I just don't understand English or the tactics of this world. However, that is complicit to at least not discouraging drug use, because they're saying, we'll cover it up for you, baby. Now, that is a disgrace. Now, we won't go into the technicalities, but on the one hand, they want to be, you know, holding hands with the World Anti-Doping Association, all this, and they're going the very opposite.
That is the rule.
Forget about whether you're a faggot, Phil, and I apologise for calling you that.
No, it's fine. Doesn't offend me at all.
I don't want you to burst in and cry or anything else. But if that is the real issue, it makes a mockery of the concept of trying to keep drugs out of sport.
Absolutely. Going on with Finlayson, did you know that he was on on his wife's podcast, and he said today, or yesterday, or whenever it was, today or yesterday, that he was really PISSED off with the decision, and now he's in the SHIT again.
For saying that.
Now the AFL are going to be having another meeting, because he said on air that he was off with it, and now he might have a bigger suspension.
Fair dinkum, if we haven't got everything out of kilter and not looking or attempting to balance things and be consistent. Now, I know, and our good listeners have heard us talk about the umpiring, which is just an absolute joke.
It's atrocious.
But that, at least umpires are making decisions in a split second.
Sometimes. Rest is getting referred to.
That's right. But administration in terms of sledging, I mean, let's face it, and we won't go into the definitions, but whatever Finlayson said, or the crybaby bit or whatever, is rightly or wrongly sledging.
Yep.
And sledging is, you know, by definition, an attempt to put somebody off their game or lose their concentration or whatever. Well, I've got news, and I'm sure all our listeners would agree with this. Sledging's been going on since Adam was a boy.
Yeah, I know, and they're trying to stop it all.
And now all of a sudden,
we
can't, you know. In fact, in my sporting career as a player and now as an umpire, not all, but some sledging is in fact incredibly humorous and funny.
Oh, absolutely. And I've got to admit it, I've done a bit on the...
Yes,
as an umpire.
Yes.
I mean, they'll give it to me, so I just give them a little bit back. Yeah. And we have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Well, tap on the back at the end of the game, and we've had a hell of a good day.
And, Phil, that is it in a nutshell.
But anyway.
And what I would like to say, and then we'll sort of quit this conversation, you know, what happened to the concept of within grounds of acceptability white line fever? What you say on the ground within reason, behavior on the ground within reason, you know, but it stays on the ground.
I agree.
There's not, I mean, I won't tell our listeners, which I don't think we could on air anyway, what Lily used to say in my, but off the ground, the nicest bloke in the world.
Yep.
And so, we've lost all degree of practical common sense.
An argument from me. I know. All right, let's get on to the local footy. We've sort of going to run over a little bit of time, but that's all right.
I know.
So last week's games, Rick. South versus Newry, 10 goals, 4, 64. Newry, 7 goals, 12, 54.
Yes.
Watch some of that game on live stream, and then I couldn't watch any more because it was just... Anyway,
right.
That's another story.
Well, for those listeners, I actually did cover the game for the Bunyip.
Yep.
And it was played in the most perfect conditions on a perfect surface. Absolutely magnificent. Now, I think what's happened, the game was basically very, very lackluster in the way it played.
Mm.
But I think that what's happened is, as we all know, you know, Newry and South Gawler have for the last couple of years played the grand finals, and they are a cut above basically the rest of the competition. And I think what's happened is that they've basically got to the point where they know each other so well that there's almost a neutralisation.
Yeah, it was a shocking game. I watched the first half.
Yeah, and it was about as exciting as paint dry.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you've got the top two sides way ahead, as I've already said, kick one goal each in the first quarter. It's and so, I mean, I think, and it's not blaming anyone, it's a good tactic, but I think it all really sort of came to roost, as it were, if you remember the second semi-final last year at Newry, where Newry actually, South had been unbeaten, beat them. And they actually beat them by a point by absolutely closing the game down. And consequently, that's what they've done ever since. In fact, to the tune where in the grand final, they actually led at all changes other than the last one. Yeah. And they only got beaten by 8 points. Now, without going into the whole thing, yes, they did only win on Saturday by 10 points. I'm talking about South, of course. Yep. But they really were a better side than that. And they got
should have won by more.
What really happened is that 10 minutes to go, and it happens, you know, even at a subconscious level, they were 4 or 5 goals up, and the boys are taking marks and stuff and calling out, handbrake, handbrake, just slowing the game. And as a consequence, I know it's a basketball term, but in junk time, the last Newry got a couple of extra or goals and brought it down to 10 points. But putting it bluntly, South were never going to lose that game.
No worries. Very good.
Yeah.
Freeling, which I don't know what I said to you, but I certainly said to one of my mates that I said Freeling will beat Central. Freeling, 15 goals, 13-103. Defeated Central, 10 goals, 13-73. So a 5-goal win. I think Central's going to have a long year. No Charlie Molyneux. I see he's a runner now for him.
I mean, that's it in a nutshell. They have lost some others, but Molyneux was the total engine room. I know it's overused. And they will miss him big time. I think the problem there is that they, and I don't understand the money side of recruiting and whatever, but they haven't recruited basically very much at all. I think they're going to struggle.
Angaston, at Angaston, 12 goals, 5-77. Defeated Tanunda, 11 goals, 7-73, which was supposedly a very good game up there. Brother-in-law went up and have a look, and sister. And they had to leave early because they went to the Port game. But, said it was a good game, and they were quite impressed the way Tanunda looked, even though they lost. Good signs straight away.
Well, I mean, that's good, and I didn't see the game, so I take it on face value that they made a good assessment. The thing that amazed me, talking about, you know, Gawler Central and no recruiting, I mean, you certainly can't criticise Tanunda for recruits and names.
Yep.
And I must confess I was a bit surprised that Angaston beat them. I
must say I was too.
I think when we get to it in a minute, I think this week we'll find out where Tanunda really is at.
And the last game was Willesden. It's a late game. It's a 6 o'clock start. 12 goals, 11-83, Willesden, to Barossa District, who will be bottom three, I predict. 6 goals, 12-48.
Yeah. Well, you take Shillabeer and Ryswick out of that side. I mean, not only were they
goals.
They're not only their leading goal kickers; they were the league's leading goal kickers equally.
Yep.
That you just can't replace that.
No.
And they will be bottom three.
Just quickly, Rick, I've just got a few names here, new names in the association. Brody Lake, who you got to see on Saturday, was at ex-Peel Thunder, which is the equivalent to SANFL here over in WA.
Very, very impressive.
Yep. Swan District's in the Northern Territory Footy League, which Wyatt Ryan played for this year. That's his background of footy. Yeah. He can play. I watched the first half and he was very good. And obviously Burton and Gurney were the other two best players on Saturday. Burton, obviously not in the Crows SANFL side, didn't need him. And for Newry was can you say the name? Cazzanaro?
He can play.
Yeah. Ex-Newry boy, went to Centrals for the last umpteen years, come back this year. Then you've got Nick Gregurki and Mannington. Yep. They were their best players on Saturday.
Yeah. That was, you know, they did a very serviceable job, and they will, I would think, finish second to South at the end of the table.
Yeah, I think they'll be around the mark.
And the big problem all sides have got is with leaping Lockie Arnold, their South ruckman.
Yep.
Now, for the first quarter or so, Newey basically sort of neutralised
him. Yeah, Big Fennell was around the mark.
Did all right. But whether he tired or whether it, well, I don't know. Mm. But the third quarter was where it all changed around, and Leaping Lockie got really on top.
Yep.
And of course, that consequently, the smalls, you know, all the South smalls.
Yeah, Pisani and all of those came
and
into
Filkey
it.
And Filkey and all those guys.
Yep.
They it makes it easy when you're getting a bit of room service, you know. So.
Quickly, Rick, we're into overtime already, but that's all right. Freeling, Ross, Hales and Oliver, they're the same sort of names as we've seen the last few years. Inglis from Ports on the Spencer Gulf is a new player for them.
All right.
So he'd be pretty handy. It's a pretty good league up there. So Williams, Vander, Mile and Abbott were Central's best three. Going through quickly, the Anguston best three, Shannon, Schmidt, and there's another name, Kowalski.
Yeah.
He was from the Eyre Peninsula and Adelaide Plains, Rick. I believe he won the Mail Medal in the Adelaide Plains last year. Okay. So evidently can play.
Yeah.
For Anguston, McInerney from Port Districts and Shepherd. Apparently two really good players there. And Tanunda picked top three were Cowan, Sutcliffe and Linky. Obviously, Sutcliffe kicked six. Yeah. Evidently, can play.
Right.
Big jump, big stood on somebody's shoulders and took a hanger, apparently. The brother-in-law was going to kick six, and they still lost. Cowan's come back from Centrals. He's had a few years, and Shay Lenke's the same. Down at Centrals, almost got drafted AFL, and then he had a bad boat accident. He's come back home too, to Tanunda. So,
right, well, listen, just before we go, I think we might forfeit the joke just to give our tips for the BNG this week. Tanunda play Willesden, Philip?
Yes, I tip Tanunda at home on the big oval.
Well, I'm going for Willesden.
Okay.
I think Willesden have recruited really well, and although they must have played well, I think if Tanunda can't beat Anguston, I'm going to go for Willesden. I think Willesden will finish
Tanunda for me
in the top four. Gawler Central versus Anguston?
Anguston.
Easy, yes. I agree with you. Newry versus Freeling.
Newry.
That'll be an interesting game because I think I'm going for Newry, but it will give us a gauge on Freeling's improvement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Phil, don't get too excited about this.
Tell me the last
Kapunda
one, Rick.
Kapunda versus South Gawler.
I'm going for South.
I've spoken to the timekeeper.
He's
and although they've got an electric scoreboard, it's only got a certain number of digits, and they've had a carpenter in to extend their wooden old scoreboard to cater for
just in case they need some more.
So we're well and truly over.
We are.
So until next week, I hope you've enjoyed it. This is Rick.
This is Phil.